Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The first reading, the psalm for this evening, from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surrounded Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hand to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing our hymn for this evening, hymn sentiment from 1 Samuel 14 into chapter 15, verse 9. When Saul had taken kingship over Israel, he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the Amorites, against Edom, against the kings of Zobah, and against the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he routed them. And he did valiantly, and struck the Amalekites, and delivered Israel out of the hands of those who plundered them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, Ishvi, and Malchishua, and the names of his daughters were these. The names of the firstborn was Merbah, and the name of the younger, Michelle. And the name of Saul's wife, was Ahimnaman, the daughter of Ahizmez. And the name of the commander of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiel. There was hard fighting against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he attached him to himself. And Samuel said to Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, Go, depart. Go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and the best of the oxen, and of the fatted calves, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for your good gifts of your word. We thank you for your commands to us and your gospel to us. We pray, dear Father, that you would give us ears to hear and live in the commands that you have given to us, that we might not see your wrath. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who forgives us our sins for where we have erred. Bless us now in the preaching of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. There was a phrase that I learned listening to my dad, and when he said it, I knew exactly what he meant. I would be doing something, he'd send me out to do something, and he would say, as I was doing it, or he would inspect it later, he said, we're not playing horseshoes or hand grenades here. And it didn't sound like much, but what really he was getting at is in horseshoes and in hand grenades, all you had to be was close. You didn't have to do a real good job. Horseshoes, if you get it anywhere near one horseshoe length from the pin, you get a point. Hand grenades, well, you know what that means. So as I was doing something, Dad would look at it and he would say, "We're not playing horseshoes or hand grenades here," which meant, do it again. Get it right. Get closer. It was his way of encouraging me. And it was good. It worked. I knew what he meant. In the Old Testament reading for tonight, we're not playing hand grenades and we're not playing horseshoes. Saul missed the mark. He didn't get close. He didn't do what God had asked, and there were consequences to that. It's not the way, it's not our way to be able to argue with God and say, "Well, I got close to what you wanted me to do." And that's really evident tonight in the Old Testament reading and also in a story with Moses. Saul had been anointed as king over Israel. He was the one, and everything he did prospered. He routed all of his enemies. Everyone they came up against, Saul would beat them with this enormous army that he had. And Saul, as he was doing all of this, you can hear in the text that it began to go to his head. After he had routed all of these people, after he had beaten all of these people, he built a monument, not to God and his goodness. He didn't build an altar to God thanking him for the victories. He built an altar to himself. It's a little self-serving. We see as he begins to be king how his arrogance begins to take over, that he thinks he can tell God what's good and what's not. Samuel gives Saul an order. "Now go strike the Amalekites and devote destruction to all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Nothing is to be spared." That sounds harsh for us, but we have to remember that when God commands this, he is protecting his people from all of the evil of their land, the people that will pull them astray and then have them worship their false gods, which will kill them. Saul has given this order, and Saul goes and he routs the Amalekites. But he decides in the midst of this to bring the king back and to keep the best of the land, the best sheep, the best camels, to bring that back as an offering to God. It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like the right thing. Bring the king back to face what he's been done, what he's done, and then to bring the animals back, the best of the animals back, and to offer them to God as a sacrifice. It sounds good, but it's not what God said. God said to destroy it all. A little bit later, as Saul is back with Samuel, Samuel begins to ask him questions. He asked Saul if he did what he was supposed to do, and Saul said, "Certainly I did." And then Samuel, a little tongue-in-cheek, says, "Well, what's this bleating I hear of the sheep? If you did what you were supposed to do, the sheep would be dead." And Saul then said, "He brought the animals back for a sacrifice." Samuel's response to him was this: "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice." Samuel got close. He decided what he thought was good and what he thought was right. And he brought the king back, and he brought the animals back in a way that he would sacrifice them for God. And Saul told him, "This is not what God wanted." And because of this, because Saul had put himself in the place of God, because Saul had decided what is good and what is not, Samuel told Saul that the kingdom of God had now been taken away from him. He would no longer be king of Israel with God's blessing. There are consequences when we only get close to God's law. Saul experienced that firsthand. Samuel picked up the sword of Agag the king and did the job that Saul didn't do. This love, this chapter of 1 Samuel, there are so many great stories in here of violence. He took the sword and he hacked into pieces the king of Agag. As graphic as that is, he did what God asked to do. Samuel finished the job that Saul didn't do. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened where somebody has gotten close thinking that was enough. If you remember in Numbers, God has freed his people Israel from Egypt. Moses is leading them. Moses gets to the desert. They begin to grumble. There's no water. God talks to Moses. Moses is supposed to speak to the rock, and the people are grumbling, and Moses is mad, and in his anger, he takes his staff, and he hits the rock twice, and water comes out for the people. It was close. God said, "Speak to the rock." Moses hit the rock. Doesn't seem like that big a deal, but Moses is deciding what's right and what's wrong. God did feed his people, water his people, but Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land because he was acting as God. You might think that we don't do this. There's this little word, though, this little word that sneaks in that shows us that we do the same thing. When we talk about the fifth commandment, we're talking about God saying to us, "You shall not murder," correct? It's clear. You shouldn't murder in thought, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't murder in thought, word, or deed. And yet this is how it goes. You shall not murder, but what about my right to choose in my body? You shouldn't murder, but if you're having a bad day, at least if you're in Canada, you can simply go to your physician and request that your physician will end your life, and he is obligated to do that. With no reason. We shall not murder, but as long as my neighbor has hurt me publicly, then I can go back and hurt him publicly. Do you see how we play God? We put things in place. We decide what's right or wrong. We put in place our will over God's will and think that it will be okay. Your butt does not belong in God's word. It belongs in the pew, hearing and receiving his commands for you. When God gives us these gifts to us, he gives a perfect command to us. Be holy as he is holy. If you can do that, you're fine. Off the hook. You don't even need to be here. But I can't. My guess is you can't either. What God tells us in his word, what St. Paul tells us, is no one is righteous, not even one. So we're in trouble. Just like Saul and just like Moses. But our Lord steps into our world. Our Lord steps into our brokenness. Our Lord steps into the places where we want to be God, and he pushes us aside and he sends his son to die on the cross for you. So that now when we are the ones who want to say, "I want to do it this way," we're reminded of our sin clearly. And again reminded of the great gift of salvation given to you in Jesus. We are not to but the gospel. We cannot but the law. We receive. We know what our Savior has done. He's called us in the waters of baptism. He's forgiven you all your sins. He has promised to you that even though we try to stand in that place, when we hear his word, we repent and we receive his forgiveness. We even try to get involved here in our own salvation. God's gift for you through Jesus Christ is that you're forgiven. And the objection comes from us, "But I have to repent." Did you hear it? Me? Sticking my butt into God's forgiveness? "But I have to repent." Not realizing that it is by the Holy Spirit that God gives us the ability to recognize our sin. And he repents us so that he can give us the forgiveness of sins. Keep your butt in the pew. And out of God's business, receive his gifts, and live joyfully in the forgiveness of sins given to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord, amen.